He's a touching. He's a healing. He's a delivering in this hour.
Yes, he is. Yes.
Praise God. Amen. He's not changed, and he never will. Amen. He said, I'm the Lord, and I change not. Praise God. And I'd like to, amen, say I love the Lord tonight. I'm glad the Lord's helped me. The Lord's touched me. I've been wrestling with something for about 3 days. Amen. Just me and the devil been fighting. Amen. Praise God. Finally, after church last night, I knelt down beside the bed, Brother Jason, and I touched heaven. Thank God. It was, you know, I went to church and yesterday morning and prayed for several hours and sought the Lord and just seemed like I was still wrestling. I wasn't satisfied. Amen. And I went to church and preached the best I could and amen, got home and I said, we can't do this no more, devil. Amen. Enough's enough. That song says, enough's enough. I'm coming to get my stuff. I'm taking back what the devil stole from me. Amen. So therefore, we had a battle and I won. Amen. Praise God. And I just felt different, brother. I felt like something just lifted off from me. Amen. And the Lord will do that for us. And like I said, appreciate your pastor. Appreciate Brother Jason. I want to read what's on my heart here. And in Isaiah 21, amen, if you got your Bibles tonight, in Isaiah chapter 21, praise the Lord. Amen. I don't feel like I'm much of a preacher. Amen. But I'm just want to be what God wants me to be available when he says preach or the door's open or whatever. Amen. I just come to be here with y'all tonight. Amen. Isaiah 21, it says here, verse 5, prepare the table, watch in the watchtower, eat, drink, arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield. Yeah, yeah. Amen. Praise God. I tell you, I want to preach on anoint the shield. Father, would you touch this preacher tonight? Lord, send your anointing forth. God, in the name of Jesus, that you would anoint us. Lord, anoint each and every one. Their minds, oh God, to comprehend. Their ears to hear. Lord, their hearts to accept your word. God, touch someone tonight, God, that may need this message and may need to hear this, oh God. Oh, enlighten us tonight, we pray. In the name of Jesus, prepare the table. Watch in the watchtower. Eat, drink, arise, you princes, and anoint the shield. Amen. Anointing the shield was the greasing of the shields. Amen. So that the sword would glance off from it. It was harder to pierce through a greased shield. There is more of a tendency of a spear or a sword to glance off of a greased shield. So the ideal of anointing the shield, amen, here was suddenly the cry comes from the watchtower. Amen. In the midst of a banquet. Amen. Anoint the shields. Praise God. And sometimes at our best in moments and best services, we better get ready because we're going to, amen, when we do good, evil's present. And the enemy's going to come in. Amen. The Bible, David said, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Amen. I found out some of the greatest victories the church can have. A week later, you've got the oppression of the enemy. You've got the devil coming at you full force. And I want to preach tonight on anoint your shields. Amen. Not only would they grease or anoint the shield to cause a sword or shield to deflect off the shield. Amen. But also would reflect the sun rays and blind the enemy. Anointing the shield is a type of the Holy Ghost. Anointing us to fight off demon powers. Amen. You see, Babylon the Great is fallen. It's fallen because it was a dwelling place of demons, a prisoner of every foul spirit, a cage of every unclean and hated bird. To anoint the shield is to watch and be ready to stand and to fight and to engage in warfare. Make ready for defense. You see, the shield, the soldiers, soldiers of Rome, they had two shields. Amen. One was a parade shield, a shield, and the other was a battle shield. Amen. The parade shield was an oversized medallion shield that was carried on one arm that barely covered the chest. The battle shield of which Paul was speaking about is much larger and powerful. The shield was about 2 feet wide, 4 feet and 6 inches, 4 feet high, 6 inches thick, made of six or more layers of animal hide sewn together to become nearly as strong as steel. This shield was designed to withstand the heavy blows of the enemy who is bent on destruction. Amen. How many knows as a believer, amen, that most of the deadliest blows will come against our faith? Amen. Many times the soldiers would link the shields together and push forward. One broken shield could stop the entire army. A broken and useless shield meant a soldier is without a defense and there's a gap. Amen. The opposing army might be able to get through. In the same way, we're all connected together, church, by faith. The unity of the church depends on all of us connecting our faith together to attack the enemy. No wonder he said, one of you shall chase 1,000 and two of you shall chase 10,000. No wonder he said, if two would touch and agree upon any one thing, it shall be done. Why? Because when we begin to bind together, amen, the church is united. There ain't no devil in hell gonna stop a united church. Amen. Because he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. When one of us fall in battle, it affects all of the others. When one refuses to obey God, it weakens the entirety of the church. The battle becomes much harder every time a believer fails. Amen. The return to sinful lifestyles create a hole in the church's defense that the enemy penetrates through to reach others. Any believer's failure will affect family, but not just family, friends, and the entire church. You are much important to this part of the body than you realize. Maintaining the shield of faith is not just for self-protection, but it's for the entire church. The leather on the battle shields had to be treated or it would dry out. It would crack and eventually break. The Roman soldier had to attend to it every day. It was required of the soldier at first morning when doing anything else. He was to oil the battle shield. Without the anointing on your faith, every day it will become brittle and you can break under the load. David wrote, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over." We underestimate the prayer line. We underestimate the anointing of God and the anointed services that we have. Sometimes you may be sitting in a pew and maybe you're just not heaping up to power with it, but someone else is. But I'm telling you, that same anointing that is touching the old saints of God up front here is the same anointing that can reach back there right where you're at, and you're getting more out of the service than you realize. You say, "Preacher, I can't get in like that. I don't do this or that." But you're a partaker of the anointing of God. Amen. You're getting anointed and you don't even know it. Oh God, we need to be anointed. We need to be anointed. They'd anoint sheep and cattle with oil to keep flies and parasites from getting inside the animal's ears and laying eggs. If a parasite got inside a sheep's head, it would almost drive them insane. They would butt heads because they were aggravated, and they would try to drive out the larva. Hey, man, the bugs, the eggs. Hey, man, if you get anointed, the devil will not stay around you. Amen. He'll not whisper in your ear. He'll not play with your mind. He won't torment you with thoughts. Let me tell you, the church world, amen, is in a spiritual battle like they've never been before. Mind battles that is unimaginable because people keep it quiet. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want nobody to know. Amen. That the devil's come and whispered in their ear. Amen. And lied to them. That parasite has got in the ear and begins the next thing you know. It's standing there and it's laying an egg. Amen. The next thing, Brother Tommy, it's doing. Amen. It's driving this person insane. Oh, I tell you, the Bible said that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee because he trusteth in thee. David said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Church, I'm telling you, if we've ever needed anointed with fresh oil, and we ever needed to anoint the shield, it's now. Oh, I tell you, the call for the church is anoint your shield. Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. Don't give the devil place in your thought life, in your prayer life, in your reading, in your church life. Don't give anger place. Amen. Or it can become a foothold for the devil. First you got a toehold, then you got a foothold, and then you got a stronghold. Be careful to not let the devil in. Amen. Temptation, oppression, then possession. There are three main entrances for the devil. Listen, every one of you. Your ears, your eyes, and your mouth. Amen. You can give spirits access to what you hear, to what you see, and what you say. The Bible said in 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed, listening to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Seducing means to lead astray, a deceiver, to lure, to cause to err, and sin. First, 2 Timothy 3:13 says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Music, movies, words, or other people's words, or other people's advice, or instruction can open a door for demons. For spirits. Evil spirits to enter into you. Now listen, most of this holiness church ain't going to preach this. They ain't going to preach this, Brother Tommy. But when you're not prayed up or full of the Holy Ghost, it can open a door or a channel for a spirit to gain access. Being anointed will cause you and others to not be annoying. We've got to be anointed. There's a door. People sometimes have a door and they open the door of innocence up out of curiosity. And sometimes your curiosity has opened you up to the spirit realm and you don't even realize it. Practicing the occult. psychic readings, tarot cards, crystal balls, drugs will cause a person to be open to spirits and become possessed. Possessed is completely controlled by an inward force. Oppressed.
Yes.
Now look here. Oppressed is an outward force. Many Christians are oppressed of the devil and need deliverance. Whether you realize it or not, I know I've walked in it, I've abided in it, I've seen it for myself, brother. Many Christians are oppressed and need deliverance. They need prayed over. Many nervous conditions, panic attacks, anxiety, depression, paranoid thoughts are caused by a spirit. That tells me and you the shield has not been anointed. Obsessive thoughts and habits are influenced by spirits. If your mind is a one-track record that is playing a thought, an event, a fantasy of a person, a place, or a thing, it's most likely a spirit knocking at your door. You must tell it to leave and replace that thought with the word, with holy, godly music and preaching. You must pray. And if you've entertained these thoughts and opened the door to something, someone, this spirit must be evicted. You must tell it to go in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, drinking, even cursing, smoking, doing drugs, fornication will open the door to the spirits that you need delivered of. I prayed for people that look godly and look holy, but I said, I'll tell you what, they got a spirit and they need delivered. You can look the part, and I believe in holiness from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, but you can have a spirit harassing you, amen, intimidating you, manipulating you, controlling you, amen, and you need it delivered out of you. Oh my. Believe me, I'm going to pay the price for preaching this message here. Because the devil don't like it. I said the devil don't like it. And anytime I go to preaching and getting on his turf and his territory, even you can be sure the hounds of hell is going to be nipping at my trail, Brother Jason. He don't want himself exposed. Hey man, I'm telling you, look here, being hurt, being offended, having jealousy will bring hatred, anger, resentment, bitterness in your heart. Two keys to deliverance is confess a sin and forgiveness. You got to forgive others. If they've hurt you, offended you, or wounded you, you got to detach yourself from worldliness. Amen. And people that's a bad influence, you got to pray, you got to fast, and you got to worship. The Bible said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen.
Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I'm going to tell you, there's people sitting in these pews, and the day in and day out, this hopeless, helpless, hate man, nothing's going to change and nothing's going to get better. Hate man, it's nothing but from the pits of hell. Long as you entertain those thoughts, you'll sink deeper and deeper and deeper into it.
Amen.
But God wants to help us to get up and over that. He's made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and put us far above principalities and rulers and darkness and spiritual wickedness and high places. That's why we have a chance to get anointed. That's why we have a chance to anoint the shield, because battle is real. Amen. Spiritual warfare is real, and people don't even realize. Amen. They give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Oh, I'm telling you, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The mind is the devil's playground. He plants bad thoughts of lust, thoughts that people everywhere, everybody hates you, thoughts of doom and gloom, self-hatred, hatred of others. He twists the word. Amen. He twists the preaching, trying to cause confusion, telling you you don't understand what's being said. And they'll say, you won't be held accountable for it. I'm going to tell you what I've encountered. The devil likes to play dead and dumb. And he'll even have others make an excuse for other people. The Holy Ghost warned two young men in our church a while back. And a few people try to make an excuse for them. I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Ghost ain't going to waste my time, your time, or their time. If he warns them and tells them, they're going to understand it. God's not the author of confusion. They're going to understand it. You better believe it. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14:33. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Acts 17:30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Yeah. What happens when you ignore the preaching? When you ignore the words and warnings of the Holy Ghost? What happens when you deliberately harden your heart? He that hardeneth his heart and stiffeneth his neck shall be cut off suddenly, and that without remedy. Romans 1:28 said they did not like to retain God. They did not like to acknowledge God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. A reprobate is a mind void of judgment, past feeling, hardened heart, conscience seared. God will allow you to go on your way, do whatever you want to do, and be lost eternally. He that been often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy. Ephesians 4:19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now, someone turned over. Look at this. Will not want to make things right with God. They will not want to do right and please God. A spirit of deception will lie to a person stating they've committed the unpardonable, that they crossed the line and blasphemed the Holy Ghost. This is why we need deliverance services. Because that sly, deceiving devil will sit on your shoulder and tell you, you can't be saved. You can't be sanctified. You can't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can't be healed, that you're bound eternally. Amen. That this is tied to you. But I'm here to tell you tonight, that devil's a liar, and you need to anoint the shield, and you need to say, hey, devil, you get behind me in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Ephesians 2 said, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation, our lifestyle. In other words, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh, amen, and of the mind. Do you get that? For his great love wherewith he loved us. even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together, made us alive with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He took us from an earthly level to a heavenly level or place. Pick up your shield. Hold it high in front of you. Don't let down. Don't give up. Don't sit down. Don't turn back or even turn around. Stand your ground. Rebuke the devil in Jesus' name. Command him to leave. Command him to leave you and your family alone. Command him to get out. Bind him. That means to tie him up. Tie up his power. Command him to loosen his grip. Amen. And let go in Jesus' name. Leave right now in Jesus' name. We've got the power. In the name of Jesus. I could tell you some encounters here, not just 10 years ago, 2 weeks ago, a week ago. Last week they asked me to come to this woman that was in the nursing home. She was a backslider. Was in church at one time, and she lived the best she could, done the best she could, but her husband died unexpectedly. They got bitter. They got resentful. They got to drinking. They got to running around with the men. Amen. She got hardened, and she become, amen, the drunk of the holler. And so, you know, you just try to do what you can. They asked me before she got put in the nursing, will you go talk to Sally? I said, I'll do my best. She let me talk to her. She let me pray with her. 80-some years old. But, you know, let me know. She knows she's lost. She's lost. She fell. They put her. She went from one child's house to the next for a while. They had all they could do for her, done all they could, put her in a nursing home. Last week, Brother Tommy, I go to the nursing home. They asked me to go and talk to her and pray for her. Her son's sitting out, standing out in the hallway. And I said, Sally. And I said, Sally, we're going to pray for you. She said, well. Jane said, are you ready, Sally? She said, no. She let me pray for her. While I was praying for her, the devil spoke out of her and said, in a man's voice, said, let me alone. Let me alone. And I began to pray. Of course, I was getting ready to rebuke the devil. In walked the nurse, bringing in another resident. And I thought, well, I know it's going to be chaotic if I do. And we got the power, folks. And I said, I rebuke you, Satan. It said, no. No. Amen. That spirit remained in Sally because she didn't want delivered. But I'm telling you, Brother Jason, about 15 to 18 years ago, I was walking down the hallway at the nursing home in Vanceburg, having to go visit an elderly man there. And I was just walking by a room when a woman was talking out of her head. And I walked by, and all of a sudden, I heard this woman's voice change into a man's voice. Amen. And I thought, oh, I think I know what that is. And so I backed up about like this. Amen. And I started going there, and the Holy Ghost said, don't go in there. Amen. I'm telling you, but I said, amen, and it spoke through her, and it said, you can't get me out. I'm here to stay. I said, I pointed my finger, amen, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I bind this spirit that's got this woman tormented, and I command it to come out of her. Praise God, Brother Jason. She turned over 3 times in the bed. Amen. Let out a yelp. And the Lord said, go on your way. God delivered her. Thank God. The Bible said he sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them of their destruction. I'm telling you, God God is greater than the power of Satan. Amen. God's got all power to deliver and to heal and to set free and break the chains of bondage. Amen. If you're sitting in here tonight and you feel like something's got a hold of you, I'm telling you, through the power of the Lord, He can set you free. He can destroy every yoke. The Bible said, the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Oh, praise God. I'm telling you, what caused a man, amen, not this past Sunday, but the other Sunday, amen, a big old man that had withstood me in service. One night, Brother David Bradley was preaching, and he got done preaching. He was going around praying for the sick. And I was praying for individuals. And I know this individual, he's about 3 times bigger than I am. Amen. Brother, he stood like this. He stared me down, had a glazed look, and he snickered. And I thought, I'm going to pray about this. Amen. It looks big to tackle. Amen. Went to another church. He came there. Brother, I got anointed, and he done the same thing again. There was that snicker, that smile on his face. But brother, last Sunday, amen, I started preaching, and I started preaching about deliverance, and I started preaching about the things that tie us. Amen. Well, it's the same message here. Amen to things. Only I went a little bit deeper. Amen. I want you to know, he was the first big man up front. Amen. He come up front, brother, and he stood there. Amen. And I prayed, and I'm going to tell you, he ain't one of these to fall out. You know, some people just fall out every time you pray for them. They fall out. Amen. Listen. Amen. He went down. Fell on his back. Amen. And I got down there. Brother, right on, I put my hand on his forehead. And I said, I bind this spirit in the name of Jesus. And I command it to come out of him. Amen. And the Lord said, it's getting ready to come out. I said, church, it's getting ready to come out. Watch what the Lord's going to do. Amen. About that time, that spirit came out. It picked him up, flopped him over. He done a belly flop, landed on the floor in his face, but let out the biggest roar you could ever imagine. I mean, come on now. I don't have hair on my head, and it made it raise up, brother. Amen. He let out a roar. He didn't know what happened to him. Amen. When he got back up, he said, everything from my childhood, all the hate, all the rejection, all the bad thoughts and ill feelings, he said, it's left me. He said the other night, my mind has been clearer than it's been since I was a child. I'm telling you, that's the power of the Lord. That's the power of the preached word of God. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power. Thank God we've got the power, church, in the name of Jesus. What have we bought? Bind on earth, you'll be bound in heaven. Behold, I give unto you power.
Power.
To tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Well, glory, I'm glad we've got the power in the name of Jesus. We need to anoint the shield, get the devil out, serve him an eviction notice. You're not dwelling in my home anymore. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He's harassing your children. He's harassing your husband or wife or your neighbors or whatever it is. You can tell him, get out. Get out. And it'll go. Tell him to go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh my. Every thought. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I feel the Lord here tonight. Slip your hands up. God, we praise you. Lord, we thank you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you. You see, sometimes we view a person that's battling a spirit as being a bad person. That don't necessarily make you bad, just like a person can have a well body, but cancer's in there. Amen. Sometimes that bad thing is the cancer, not the person. They've got to do something to treat that, brother. If they can take it out, they're going to take it out. And so when we go to rebuking things and binding things and commanding things to loosen, people say, well, who in the world's that? Who's got the power to do so? Everybody in here does. Signs in Mark 6 and 15, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, speak with new tongues, and take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. Signs shall follow them that believe. Never once do I believe in you have to go out and catch a copperhead and a rattlesnake and try to take that up and just show me how much faith you got. No, but I tell you what, sometimes you got to take that power over that devil, over that influence, and you got to command it to go in the name of Jesus. I believe God's greater. I believe God's greater. He's more powerful than cancer. He's more powerful than sickness and disease. He's more powerful than nervous conditions, than anxiety, than oppression and depression, and thoughts of suicide and thoughts of self-harm and thoughts of worthlessness. Oh God, can we believe God to break something tonight? Amen. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we got generational curses, ancestral spirits. He said, I'll visit the iniquity of the fathers upon what, the third and the fourth generation. And you go to the doctor and they start, well, how was it with your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents? You know how? They'll go back to about three or four different generations. Heart trouble. Is there any cancer there? Is there any mental illness? They'll ask all those. These things are passed down, folks, and I'm telling you, even though you're saved, covered by the blood, this thing needs to be broken. Whether you believe it or not, amen, it's still real. Come on, it needs to be broken. Come on now. If you got this fear, well, grandma had it, and daddy had it, and mommy had it, and that thing dominates your life, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And life and death lie within the power of the tongue. Amen. Yes, Lord.